Okay. Luke Carroll, what Luke Carroll has asked is, at the question and answer session, there was a particular question that the head Mormon missionary asked, and what it is, it's over in Ezekiel 37. We'll kind of dovetail here for a few minutes. We get done. Yeah, that's okay. But go with me to Ezekiel 37. And what kind of made this funny and yet so what's the word I'm looking for? When I heard that the Mormons, that they were going to sit in there, this is always a verse I always want to talk to Mormons about, because this is a prominent verse in their system, especially among missionaries who are the leader, the bishops and elders and so forth of that system. And I was thinking, man, I would really like afterwards, maybe I hope these guys will stay, and I'd like you just to sit down and just ask them about this verse. And lo and behold, the guy that asked the question, he brought the verse up. And here it is. It's Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, where God told Ezekiel to tell Israel, he told Ezekiel to do this. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, Ezekiel 37:15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. What the guy asked is, can you explain what the sticks are? That was his question in Ezekiel 37. And when he asked that question, I mean, I literally just about jumped out of my shoes. Just, praise God, hallelujah, there is intervention after all. I am serious. I just had to be calm. But in my mind, I'm saying, I cannot believe this guy is setting himself up so bad. You know, I mean, the verses go to nail him. And like what Barry was saying, look at verse 18. It says, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? And then he tells them, God tells Ezekiel what the answer is. Who remembers what the answer is? What is it?
Two nations joining back together. The north, they were separate.
The split nation.
And being back to one stick again. And he thought it was the Bible and the Book of Mormon being in John.
Yes. And that is what they teach. They teach that in their system that the Bible, the Christian Bible, and the Book of Mormon, yeah, the Book of Mormon is the stick for Joseph, because Joseph Smith, and so they don't necessarily say that's Joseph Smith, but they say that's Joseph and so forth. The other book is the Bible, and that they were joined together in one book. And in their system, they have them bound all together. If you've ever asked a Mormon to show you their Bible, it's all bound together in one binding. It's very, very thick and so forth. So they say that's what it is. And we just kept going. The guy kept pressing the issue.
Yeah.
He kept saying, "Well,
that's your interpretation."
No. That's what God told Ezekiel the interpretation is. And the guy kept pressing the issue. But anyway, Luke Carroll, that's what the question was. Okay, and everything. So, but back to the point is that when it comes to the issue of the judgment seat of Christ and Pauline doctrine, all of Paul's words we want to live by. Not just be so, not just be we don't water baptize, we don't speak in tongues, the church didn't start at Pentecost and so forth kind of thing. But also, let kindness and love and let bitterness be put away from your charity. See, that's as much as 2 Timothy 2:15. And for somebody who, wants to be so right dogmatically, we don't water baptize, we don't speak in tongues, and if you don't agree with that, just get out of here kind of thing, you're wrong. That's absolutely not Pauline. That is wrong. That's just as much as being religious as trying to go back to the kingdom program. You can be a mid-acts dispensational legalist.
Absolutely.
Just like you can be an Acts 2 grace believer. There's lots of people who think the church started at Acts 2. And listen, they're kind and they're gentle and they understand about total forgiveness. They may not understand all the things about Hebrews through Revelation. And there's a lot of people who, mid-acts, no water baptism, no speaking in tongues, but listen, they just got bitter, self-centered spirits. All of us potentially have that. So that's why I say, don't get me wrong. I got the flesh. And sometimes I can come across unkind and ungentle that type of way. And if I come across that way, you guys got to tell me. You guys got to say, John, tone it down a little. Okay. Or whatever, Or maybe a lot. No, we're not going
to
do that either, yeah. We you should tell them that story about what you're thinking of when your friends were over here and Richard was over here.
Oh, yeah. It was February. It was our conference, and there was a tree. This is about 3 years ago. We still had a Christmas tree up in the back.
A bale pole. Hey, I'm sorry.
There was no ornament. There was just the lights left. We just had no time to take down.
That's the justification for keeping it up, right?
Well, I'll hear Tom.
Pastor Gordon was sitting in front of it, and Dr. Don was there, and we were sitting there for a while, you know, having our little meeting, you know, studying the Bible and everything, and all of a sudden, Pastor Gordon goes, what is this behind me, a ball hole?
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, no, the other thing got in when Frank asked if we leave the church, and John gives him a couple nice verses, and then he goes, Richard goes, John, this is Johnny come lately. Sometimes, you know, he's telling me this. He says, I'll give it to you. And so he gets a couple more stronger verses.
I won't be so kind.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. I won't be so kind.
Yeah. John just sits there and he's smirking. He doesn't say a word.
And my friend got up off, when he talked about the tree and that whole thing, I already knew. Yeah. We already knew that was coming. And, you know, my friend got up off the couch into the kitchen. And I got up to help her what she needed. She goes,
yeah.
She's like so upset about the tree, and I'm like, oh, this is not going.
This is not going,
so. You know, so I'm like, oh, I didn't have a secret tree up,
you know. Actually, it was a good. Wound up being a great testimony.
It
wound up being tremendous, you know.
You
so.
You learn yeah. from all that stuff.
Well, what we want to do, we want to see in Christ, are we holy? Mm-hmm. In Christ, are we unblameable? Mm-hmm. In Christ, we're perfect and complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so. God wants our conduct to be consistent with our identity. Right? He wants our conduct to be consistent with our identity. That's the very tough part, isn't it? What's so tough about that?
Flesh.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, we still got that old flesh.
It's
you know?
Chock full of holes.
It's chock full of holes, ain't it? Yeah. Oh, my, oh, my. It is. And.
What I do.
Romans 7,
Romans
yes.
7,
yes, Romans 7, yeah. It's not just the strong-willed child.
Well, you know, when you with people embrace John, it's so much different as you mature brothers. Like these Mormons, you deal with grace, but when you deal with a mature brother, sometimes you got the right to come down a little harder because they know the doctrine.
Yes,
so that's what you're talking about, knowing the Word of God let it work effectually in you and understanding how that brother, that weaker brother, or even a mature brother is messing up.
Yeah.
That's what Paul says, mature with you.
Yes. Yeah.
What about that night we had with Tony? Remember?
Oh, the guy up at Mark's?
And
she's yelling me all
the time. I was so upset because I'm not, you know, thinking that we should be like yelling back and you know what I'm saying because that's what he needs, I guess.
Yeah.
He was fighting everything. So but was that coming across? Not, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Well, that's such a great question. Here's the question again for those listening by way of the internet and so forth. I'm not sure if you could hear it, but. Let's say you get into a discussion and your blood pressure begins to rise, okay? And somebody is, you know, really just back at you, kind of in your face kind of a thing. How do you deal with that? Here's how you decide. Study how Paul dealt with it and then deal with it the same way. And what Paul realized, let me give you a passage over in 1 Corinthians... we're going to get that one too, but I was actually thinking of a different one, so I'll let you read that one. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. And actually, you know, we're going to start a little before that. He says, look at verse 19, 1 Corinthians 9, 19. And again, the question is, how do you deal with different people in different circumstances to try to reach him with the gospel or reach him with edification? See, that guy, by the way, I didn't even think the guy was a saved guy. He was just an intellectual religious guy.
He's a total Calvinist,
yeah. So watch what Paul says here. He says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself the servant unto all. Okay, so there's his basic thinking in his mind. I'm a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. What's he mean by that? Does he mean he went back to the Jewish legal system and started offering blood sacrifices? What did he do?
He
thought like they thought. He respected their thinking process so he could think through on how to lead them where they needed to be. Where they need to be? At the cross. Find out where a man is and take him where he needs to be. It doesn't matter where he is, he needs to be at the cross.
But the Jews had to read him quite differently than the others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, if you're... What Nathan said is that with the Jews, he had to reason a little bit differently than the Gentiles. Isn't that exactly what he does in Romans 1, 2, and 3? Romans chapter number 1 is dealing with Gentiles, and he reasons with them, the Gentiles, differently than he does in chapter 2 with the Jews. Chapter 2 with the Jews, how does he deal with the Jews? The law.
They had the word.
Chapter number 1, he deals with creation.
Yep.
See that? So he says at verse 20 again, unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews.
Go ahead. In the purpose-driven life, Rick Warren, he takes that verse and he says, that's why I dress like a Southern Californian and that's why I act like a Southern Californian.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of weird, you know.
Yeah.
But he kind of has a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quickly look at verse, the next part of verse 20. To them that are under the law. Okay, now what kind of person is that? That's a legalist, right? It's a legalist, yes. Which is in our flesh, that's us, right?
Yes.
So since we know what it means to be a legalist, because in our flesh we are, then we can think like a legalist. And therefore we can deal with that legalist, because we know what their thinking is. So that's why it says, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them under the law. To them that are without law, that's just the heathen Gentile out there. Just don't care nothing about the law, whatever. Well, we can do that too. How come? Because in our flesh we don't either.
Yeah.
Right? So to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to Christ, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Now watch this. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save everybody.
No.
See, Paul understood that, you know what? Some people just don't want to get saved. Some people just don't want the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like in a situation like that, just quit talking to the guy. That's why I just quit talking to him. Because he just was not open for anything. So why waste your breath? There were two or three people other there in that case that had some questions and so forth. And so...
You know, it's funny, we had two separate things.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Well,
yes.
And one of the reasons, whether it was wrong or right, why I continued, which probably was wrong, but... It was almost for another brother's sake.
Yes.
Held the and to show, because this guy was, he was persuading him, whether he thought or not, and that was kind of
what
was the wrong
and thing. To me, what's interesting in that sense, it actually was quite good what you did, because that got him over there, and we're able to kind of discuss some things with these people over here.
And they want to listen.
Because that other guy was just trying to dominate everything.
Yeah.
But you gain some discernment. Just, you know, you think of a verse like that. So answer to your question is that, well, different situations, you approach it a little bit differently, knowing that you want to get to the same place, in the same place as Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get every man to the cross and so forth. Okay, let's really good questions tonight. This is some good, just practical application and stuff. Right? Yeah, no. Hey, we always have great questions here, right? I'm serious.
Okay, you know, before all these questions.
Okay.
He's the reason why this happened.
And it really is good. Look over again back to Colossians chapter number one. Look at verse 23. Now we'll be plugged back in now, okay? but do see what he says at verse 23, that if there is obviously not a reference to your justification. But it is a reference to the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody see that? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. Now notice, not from the gospel, but from the hope of the gospel. Satan wants to move. If he can move us away from the hope of the gospel, then, in other words, if he can get us to quit realizing and appreciating the heavenly effect and impact that we can have as members of the body of Christ, if he can get us to lose sight of that, then that's how he gets us to lose sight of the importance of right division. And if he gets us to lose sight of the importance of right division, he gets us thinking back, like kind of what you said earlier, like we're Israel again, going back to the Gospels, taking our doctrine from there. And you do that, and you abandon the gospel grace of God. See that? And if you go back to the Gospels, you can't function on the basis of charity. Not if you're going to be consistent with what the Gospels say. See that? So there's a reason for Satan's thinking here. Watch what else he says, verse 23. He says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and look at that next phrase there, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That is one amazing phrase.
Being a waste of time.
Well, it says every people happen.
What's that?
When did that happen?
Look at that phrase there, which is preached to every creature which is under him. You got any questions about that verse?
Yeah.
That's a real interesting verse.
Oh, is that going to be? That can't be during his life. That's something.
What are the questions? What are the questions that it always comes in that phrase? Who preached it? How did he preach it to every creature which is on heaven? How in the world did he talk to every single creature which is under heaven? They didn't have pal talk, yeah. They didn't have text messaging and so forth. You know, and I got to tell you, I was thinking about that verse because that's an interesting verse. How did Paul preach the gospel to every creature which is under heaven?
It was out of the fact that. First of all, the world wasn't there as big.
Okay. Population wasn't as big.
Not even close. It
good.
And the fact being, when he told other people, look at how it spread. I mean, he didn't go to places and not start churches.
Okay.
So it
okay,
spread
great.
Like this.
Okay. Now, generally speaking, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Is that, well, the population wasn't near as big as it is today, so it wouldn't have been as difficult to reach every creature which is under heaven at that time as compared to today, as an example. Okay. And I think that that's legitimate, but I've had to change my thinking about that verse.
Heaven is declaring your glory.
It's past tense.
And it's every.
And it's every.
Every person.
He didn't reach everybody. I mean,
I've had to rethink that verse.
Or is it having to do with? Does that have to do with Romans 1:20, where they're without excuse, meaning that the creation?
That's a parallel. That's possibly a parallel.
Yeah, the heavens declare your glory.
Okay, so instead of it being that Paul personally talked to every single person on the planet, or that a saved person talked to every single lost person on the planet. So instead of it being that idea, it's like Titus chapter 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That it's the dispensation coming in. Okay? But I don't think it's that.
Doesn't verse 25 it talks about how he fulfilled the word of God? In other words, the word of God became complete at that point.
Yes. Word of God becomes complete by Paul's ministry.
You know,
but see, that's past tense. See, the problem with John, I understand. But it says, moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Now, he's not talking about the gospel. He's talking about the hope.
The hope.
So hope is heavenly places. Now, wait a second.
There's the key.
Yeah. So he's not talking about the gospel. He's talking about the hope of the gospel. So has heaven been preached among every creature? Yes. It's not about the gospel. It's about because God made the heavens and the earth.
Okay. All right. Watch this. We compared a little bit earlier Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 6. What did Ephesians 1 say? Ephesians 1:3. What do we say that God... What is God doing in Ephesians 1:3?
What he did. He blessed
he
us
did.
With all heaven and God blessed.
So what's he doing? What do we say? We said that God is speaking well about the body of Christ where?
In heaven.
Who's there?
Well,
Satan.
So wait, this thing preached
look
about
at what
heaven
the,
was
the... Look at what the verse
angel?
Says. See, the thing is we tend to read that verse wrong. See, the verse says this. It says, and which, look at verse 23. If you continue in the faith, ground settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Watch this. Which ye have heard, comma, and which was preached to every human being on the earth by the Apostle Paul.
No.
That isn't what it says. That verse says, and which was preached to every what?
Creature
which is on earth. That's not even what it says. That is how we tend to read it. It just got me to thinking, you know what?
But wait, Satan's in heaven. Wait a second, John.
Yes. That's
Satan's
what I'm saying.
Under heaven,
but they're in the second heaven, right?
Yes. Remember, you've got the third heavens, you've got
so
second and the first.
The
what I'm suggesting is what Paul's saying to the Colossians. He's saying, listen, guys, this thing was preached to you Colossians, and this message has been made known to Satan's and the fallen angels and the good angels in the heavenly places when God made it known to me.
Wow.
You got heavenly information there.
And
it's consistent with the verse. Because Satan wants to move us away from the hope, the heavenly places. And Paul is saying it's been made known to him. That's how come he's trying to move you away from that. You see, the little phrase there, and every creature which is under heaven, I don't think that's human beings on the earth. I understand, I could be wrong. But I think that's the principalities and powers in heavenly places that are now learning about the body of Christ through us. Isn't that fascinating?
Well, yeah, because then it talks about judging the angels and the other.
That's exactly what it talks about.
Yes.
The consistent thing here is the heavenly places, those the battle over the thrones, the dominions, isn't that verse 16?
Well, he's not talking about the gospel here. See, that's
right, it's the heavenly issue.
Hope. It's the heavenly issue.
Yes.
So it can't be the people on earth before.
It can't be salvation to every lost person. No. That isn't the issue.
No.
And you see what I'm saying? Is that when he says, which was preached to you, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven?
But it also says, verse we go back to, it says it was preached throughout the world.
Yeah.
The gospel was preached.
Yes, and I take that to be
a different verse than this verse, but that's.
Yeah, that's verse 6. Look at the difference. Verse 6, which has come unto you. As it is in all the world, but the phrase is different than verse 23.
Absolutely.
See that?
I'm talking about heaven.
Yes.
But this verse is it's come out of all the world. But not
and see the last part of verse 5, the truth of the gospel which is coming to you as it is in all the world. That is, I take that to be Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The message has come out to all men.
Gotcha.
See that?
Okay.
Now, Luke Carroll, you've had your hand up. You've been very patient over there. What, did you have a question or did you have a comment?
Hello. Where is that about the lamb slain before the foundation of
that, that's over in 1 Peter chapter number, hold on a second here, 1 Peter 1. I don't know if this is the one you're thinking of, but if you look at verse 19, 1 Peter 1, 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That may not be. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Don will have to tell me, because there is one that says it's near about the lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Let's see.
It's
where.
That. In 1 Peter, what was that?
That was 1 Peter 1, verse 19 and 20. The phrase there, ordained before the world began.
Well, it says the word, Tom talking about the word.
Revelation 13:8.
Yeah. Yeah, lamb slain from the foundation of the world. 13:8 there. And was you had a question about that, or just a.
Well, since he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world, not willing that any should perish, but all should come repentant. And he gave this message to Peter to preach, right?
Which message? You mean?
Salvation of Christ.
Right, but the message he gave to Peter was different than the message he gave to Paul. Remember that? Because Peter was preaching the gospel of the kingdom
to the Jews.
Yes. Yes, and Paul was preaching gospel grace to the heathen. To
But then they both preach Christ.
Yeah, they both. Peter would preach Christ according to the kingdom program, his resurrection according to the kingdom program. Paul preached Christ and his resurrection according to the mystery program. Okay. All right. So go back to Colossians 1 then. So what I'm driving at is, I think the issue in verse 23 is the combat for the heavenly places.
Yeah.
Something has been declared in the heavenly places.
And he would have said throughout the world like he did, he would use the same way.
I think he would have said it the same way in verse 6. Yeah.
The thing, every detail
is important.
You have to look at every detail.
Yes. Well, and even when you read the rest of the verses, Paul says, at verse 26, he says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, not to everybody, but to who? To his saints, because only the believers are open to it anyway, right? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glorious mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in the hope of the glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man, and always we may present every man perfect. The idea is, well, not everybody has heard. Not every human being has heard. So, like I said, that's what got me to thinking, well, what that every creature which is on heaven? That's the heavenly battle. That's the battle in the heavenly places.
For past salvation and the hope of that anyway. So it kind of makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the heavenly battle in verse 23 there. And Satan wants us to move away from an appreciation of the Word of God, lightly divided, an appreciation of the purpose of the body of Christ and everything.
And hateful
toward us, that he doesn't want us to have anything of any power in heaven. He wants us to be manure scoopers and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah.
the kids asked me at Sunday school a great question. They said, Dad, and the kids at Sunday school said, does Satan want everybody to go to hell? I said, no.
Right.
I said, see, I always thought that. It's not. Satan just wants to be God like God and run the world. The problem is he knows we're already part of the body. We're God. So
yeah.
he can't be, you
yeah.
know, and it's battle with him. But all he wants is to people to worship him.
He wants worship.
Yeah, he doesn't
yeah.
want, he's not pushing people to go to hell.
Yeah.
But the problem is because we're part of God, he's angry at God and is therefore angry
yeah.
at us.
He hates the body of Christ because of what the Christ in relationship
Christ
to the cross
he's angry with
means.
God.
Yeah.
And the people
yeah.
not associated with Christ, he's for the pickings. He wants them to
yes.
keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
He's angry
he
got fools. He got
outwised.
God outwised him.
What's that?
He's
the
angry
truth.
That he got fools.
Yes.
Got
yeah.
the mystery.
He knows
yeah.
that we're under something that the vast majority of Christians people
don't know.
Blind
yeah.
know.
And you know, if you look a little bit further then, again at verse 25, we're going to deal with verse 24, but I know we're out of time here, but just along the lines of what y'all are commenting on, verse 25, it says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So it's been made manifest to whom God would make known. God wants the saints to know this, and Satan doesn't want them to know it. God wants the saints to see this. Satan doesn't want you to see this. See that? Satan's objective is to keep the mystery a mystery. And for those who know the mystery, to keep them fighting among themselves so much that they're totally ineffective. And that they're just useless for all practical purposes. You know? You're exactly right.
Well, that's why it says to the saints, because you don't be a dispensationalist and then get saved. It doesn't happen.
That's correct. That's correct.
You get saved and then you become...
You come to see the revelation of the mystery.
That's why he says all be saved and come to knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
In that order, because you don't go to the other. That's why he said only to the saints.
Yeah. Very good. Anybody have any other questions or anything?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
The scripture says that we are going to be judged not when we die, before the rapture, when the rapture happens, we're all together. When you do die, what are you doing?
Okay, the question is that when you do die and before the rapture,
yes.
what are you doing? Probably washing dishes and cleaning dirty laundry and stuff like that. No, just joking. That's the joke, right? No. The question is, what are you doing between death and the rapture for the believer, between death and the time when you get your resurrection body? As far as I can tell, you're with Christ for sure, based upon Philippians chapter number 1 and 2 Corinthians 5. And then, by parallel, in Israel's program, those that died, you're resting. You're waiting for everything to be fulfilled. And the reason I say by parallel in Israel's program is that I don't know a verse in particular that I could point to that says this is exactly what you're going to be doing between death and the rapture. There's some verses that imply some things, and so you can kind of look at other parallels in Israel's program and say, well, what happened when they died and so forth. So as an example, if you'll go over to the book of Revelation and chapter number 6 here.
You're talking about like Abraham's bosom almost gone before Christ rose again, where they were in paradise, just...
Yeah, like what happened to them. And,
okay.
Let's look at something after that, because obviously we're after that. Yeah, yeah. So look at Revelation chapter number 6, just as an illustration of it, to a possible answer to your question. Okay. Revelation chapter number 6, the Lord Jesus Christ has already taken the book from the Lord and he's breaking the seals. So verse 1, when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals and so forth. So Revelation chapter number 6, he opens the 6 seals, and there's the 7th seal is not open until chapter number 8. Anyway, so you got the first seal, the second seal, third seal, fourth seal. Now watch the 5th seal down at verse 9. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay, now these obviously are tribulation saints, so this is not the body of Christ, so I want to make that distinction first. Now, are these guys physically still in their human body?
No.
They're not. Okay, so the picture here obviously is in heaven,
souls,
and it's their souls. Okay, so these are people They're not resurrected yet, but they obviously have died. So it is between that state. Okay? So there's possibly a parallel here. Alright? But it's not the body of Christ. So let me make that clear. This is not the body of Christ here. Okay. So look what happens. It says, verse 10, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them which that dwell on the earth?" Okay, so what do they do there?
They're waiting.
They ask the Lord a question. They're waiting. And now think about the question that they're asking the Lord. What are they asking the Lord?
How long?
Okay, so what do they believe? It's going to happen. So they believe in the fulfillment of Scripture. They believe in the rest of prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do you know about them? Without even reading anything else, what else do you know about them? They're thinking. They can speak. So even though they're not in their physical body, they're in their soul, they can still talk and communicate. All right, verse 11.
Let me ask a question for you. Why did they ask that question when it was taught to them that there was 7 years of tribulation doing that? Why are they questioning?
Not so much that, because remember, these guys are slain after the dispensation of grace is over.
Yeah,
remember,
okay. 7 years, but yeah. If they read their scriptures right back here.
Yes.
The only time they don't know of is that short time before the Lord cometh.
That's correct. It is that, and it's also that if it's a 7 year period and these people are slain at various times and so forth,
yes.
That's the idea. It's like, how long, O Lord? Not in the sense of do we have another 1,000 years, but in the sense of, okay, are we at the 3.5 year mark yet?
Yeah.
Or are we 1 year yet?
That kind of thing. What
they know is this. They know they have been slain. They know they're in heaven. They know the Lord hasn't returned yet. So they know the second coming hasn't occurred. They know the kingdom. They're waiting for the balance of prophecy to be fulfilled. See that? So they know that it's less than 7 years. But let's say that they were slain somewhere along the first year. So does that mean we have 6 years, 6.5 years? That kind of a concept there.
You see that?
That's right. They're not worried so much that. And it is really a question of it's not so much a question of time as much as a question of justice.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's weird. Okay. The first question they ask, right? Not when are you going to avenge me?
Yes. Okay. So now watch verse 11. It says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Okay, so now what do you know?
There's more people to be killed.
More people going to be killed.
They're
not through the tribulation period yet.
Okay.
So they're going to rest. They're going to wait. Okay. So what I'm suggesting is that, okay, this isn't the body of Christ. This is not you and me in the heavenly places. But there's a possible parallel here that just like these guys have a period between their physical death and their physical bodily resurrection, and between that time, they're still able to communicate, they're still able to talk, they're still able to know, they're also able to receive doctrines because they receive this information. They're able to receive these white robes, and actually, so therefore, their soul has a shape that you can actually put a robe on, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they're told to rest. So the indication seems to be that what we're going to be doing with Christ during that time is just waiting for the rest of the body of Christ to be completed, rapture occurs, and that kind of thing. That's what I take. Okay, does that answer that? Okay. Now this is one of the greatest contradictions, by the way, in the book of Revelation, because look at verse 10 of chapter 6. Chapter 10, verse 6 of Revelation.
You said something about the body of Christ. Now, the rapture has occurred by this time, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just making a prayer. Yeah. Okay, now this is one of the greatest contradictions in the book of Revelation, right? Revelation 6:10 says this, "And they cried with a loud voice." Now go to chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven." The contradiction is this. If there's silence in heaven, there can't be any women in heaven. But if there's all this noise in chapter 6, it's all women.
Oh.
That's pretty bad.
Gloria was here tonight.
I couldn't even comprehend why you were using that word contradiction.
I set y'all up pretty bad, didn't I? just bad, right? Just go ahead, kick me out of your house now.
Right now, I
just have a day job. Yeah, exactly. That's right. We may have to go become comedians, right? Yeah. We might make about the same, right?
Yeah. You know what I said to Pastor? You know how Pastor Jordan is not allowed to give that analogy about the guy drinking the Coke? And
oh, yeah, yeah.
I said, why didn't you give your roadkill joke? Have you ever heard his roadkill joke?
No.
Oh.
Oh no! I'm not going to tell it.
Want me to call it?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I might not get it right, but favorite after dinner joke. There's two homeless guys going down the highway, and they haven't eaten in a long time. And there's some roadkill on the side of the road that's got bugs, and it's really starting to smell. And
it's pretty ripe.
Yeah. Right. So the one guy says, "I'm going to cook this up for us to eat." The other guy says, "No way, I ain't touching that. That's spoiled meat." So sure enough, the one guy cooks it up, eats it, and half hour later he's puking it up. And the other guy said, "I knew if I waited long enough, I'd get a hot meal."
Oh. That was a canned joke.
Oh.
I love that you can't go
there. Are you sure you're going to ask Richard to come in?
No, I said I wasn't going to tell it. All right, I guess we have to go back to the serious side.
Yeah.
Live for Him has a question. Go ahead. Live for Him, sorry for the delay there. Oh, it's on the screen. All right. Okay, the question is, it's on the screen. Let me read it. Okay. It says, can you explain the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15:52? Is this the same one as stated in Revelation? Okay, quickly go to 1 Corinthians 15. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And again, if you can see the question on the screen, and the question basically is the trump at 1 Corinthians 15, is it the last of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation? Basically, that's the question. Says, can you explain the last trump in 1 Corinthians 52? Is this the same one stated in Revelation? Okay. The answer is no, it's definitely not the same one. One of the fundamental reasons that you know that it's not is the book of Revelation deals with prophecy. It deals with the prophetic program. You should have 1 Corinthians 15, and then you should have Revelation chapter number 1. When you're reading the book of Revelation, you are in the prophetic dispensation, the prophetic program, as compared to the present time program called the dispensation of God's grace. If you look at, you should have 1 Corinthians 15, and you should have Revelation chapter number 1. I'm going to have you look at one Revelation chapter number 1 first. Revelation 1:3 says this: "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this what?"
Prophecy.
When you're reading the book of Revelation, it's important to remember that you're reading the prophetic program, mm-hmm. not the mystery program. Right there, that verse very clearly tells you that you're reading the words of this prophecy. Okay, so that's very important to recognize that. When you're reading in 1 Corinthians 15, when you're reading in Paul's epistles, you are reading about the mystery program and the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that Paul never mentions anything about Israel's program. For example, Romans 9, 10, 11, he does mention Israel's program, okay? But it is important that you that one distinguish the issue of the trumpets and for that matter, distinguishing anything in the Bible, you want to make sure and rightly divide, want to make sure and recognize the distinction in the Bible that exists between prophecy and the mystery, the kingdom prophetic program and the mystery program that was given to the Apostle Paul for the dispensation of grace. Okay, now having said that, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Mm-hmm. He says, "Behold, I show you a what?
Mystery.
A mystery." Okay, so whatever the trump is here, it's part of what Paul refers to as a mystery here. Now, the trumps, the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, are never said to be part of the mystery. They weren't mystery, they're prophecy. They're not the mystery. So that's a second major distinction that you have to recognize, okay? That the trump here mentioned, the last trump and so forth, is in connection with what Paul refers to as a mystery here, something that was hidden, but it was just first made known to him. Again, let me emphasize that. The seven trumpets in the book of Revelation are not the mystery or part of what Paul calls the mystery. They are part of prophecy, part of the prophetic program. Okay, now, again, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Who is the we? Well, the we is the church, the body of Christ. How do we know that? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ," and members in particular. So the Corinthians are part of the body of Christ. Did they give you the right reference? Okay. The Corinthians are part of the body of Christ. So when he says back in chapter 15, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed," he's talking about the church, the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ, not everybody is going to all die at the same time. If the dispensation of grace is going to last for any length of time, and of course it's already lasted about 2,000 years or so, but if it's going to last for any length of time, at any significant length of time at all, people who are believers were going to die out and so forth, all right? And his point is that we're not all going to die, but all the body of Christ is going to be changed. We're all going to receive glorified, resurrected bodies. Okay, so now watch what he says at verse 52. It's going to happen this fast. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last... Now, what's the next word? Now, notice it's the word trump. It's not the word trumpet. That word appears a little bit later on, the next phrase, "for the trumpet shall sound." What's the difference between the word trump and the word trumpet? One's the instrument, one's the sound it makes. Okay? So once again, you got to notice every single word. This is clearly not the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation. This is one trumpet that's going to make more than one sound. Okay? And it's going to be the last of the sounds of this one trumpet when the change occurs. Okay? And then, of course, what happens, you can see it, verse 52, "In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So this is the resurrection of the church, the body of Christ. Whereas when you go and look at the details of the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation, again, they're all prophecy. They deal with the nation of Israel and the second coming of Christ to this earth to bring his, to bring his kingdom on this earth and so forth. Okay? So there's a distinction that you want to make as far as that goes. Okay? Does that at least give you some things to think about there in relationship to your questionnaire? Okay, you bet. Any other questions on Pal Talk tonight? Any other questions there? All right. Well, I don't see any other hands. Anybody else here have a question? Okay, good. Well, we want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. I'm going to ask Barry if he'd close us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time around your word. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live our lives not knowing what you're doing, that your word tells us how to do it and what to do and be led by the Spirit, Lord. And we pray that we may encourage one another. We pray, Lord, that we may rest in your grace and share with people through grace to share the knowledge that you've given us. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Once again, folks listening on the internet, thank you for being with us tonight. Remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Join us tomorrow morning at our regular scheduled Sunday services, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Look forward to having you there. Thanks. Have a great evening. Good night now.